comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet we call home. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, broadcasting from the third rock from the sun to the third rock from the sun, all around the world. We're here because you have a right to know. We're here because you matter. Have you heard the news? Big news out of NASA. The NASA science chief, Ed Wyler, is stepping down tomorrow, 30th of September. No word as to why, the articles that I checked just before showtime, there was no word as to why he's stepping down. I don't know. Maybe he's retiring. Maybe he's just tired of the job. I don't know. It doesn't say. It's a pretty big job. That is an assistant administrator at NASA, science chief Ed Wyler stepping down. Also big news out there, China has launched the first module of their space station. You know, China... it kind of took a look at the International Space Station and for whatever reason said no thanks. And they said we're going to build our own space station. I think a lot of people thought that would be a long, long way out into the future. Apparently not. The first stage, the first module of their space station is up. Here at the Kevin Smith Show, we have lots and lots and lots of stuff that you don't see when you come to the website. You see the links to it, but you don't get to see it unless you are part of our members community. And I would like for you to be able to get in on all of that. Our forums, our chat room, your own blog, your own photo gallery, your own video gallery. Yes, you can upload video clips. Something similar to YouTube. Not quite. We don't have their budget. But, you can upload your own video clips. You do friend requests, and you accept or reject friend requests. I mean, you're used to all of this. We've got it. And in addition to that, you get to... watch the show live. Watch, you know, with your eyes. You get to watch the show live. If you miss it, well, it's up there for the next 24 hours after we do it. And I'll tell you, it's absolutely a great, great deal. It's only $7.50 a month, and we give you the first 7 days free. So there's really no reason for you not to join. That's 25 cents per day. Think about that. 25 cents a day. Take 25 cents to any store. Ask them what you can get for 25 cents. I bet you can't even get escorted to the front door on your way out for 25 cents. You need to join tonight. My guest will join us on the other side of this break, and his name is Jose Escamilla. All right. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. As I said, my guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. He's been with us many times before. He's a good friend of the show. You know him as a filmmaker. You probably are familiar with The Greatest Story Ever Denied, Moon Rising, Luna, and some others that he's been here talking with us about. Now, I want to tell you that he is under a doctor's care right now, and he may have to leave us before the end of the show tonight, but he's going to try and make it all the way through the show. Jose Escamilla, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hey, Kevin. It's good to be here. It's good to be here, Kevin.
Oh, well, you know, Jose, I'm very sorry to hear that you're having to be under a doctor's care, but I'll tell you what, you sound good.
Well, let me tell you something, Kevin. Can you hear me okay? Because I hear a lot of static on this
phone. Oh, yeah, we're hearing you just fine.
Okay, let me tell you what happened. My mother passed away May 2nd of this year, and I went home to Rosalie, Mexico to take care of you know, the memorial and everything else. I am hearing all sorts of different, wicked, crazy stuff on my line.
Well, just go ahead and talk. We can hear you fine.
All right. Here goes. So anyway, when I came back from Roswell, Mexico, 10 days later in May, I wasn't sick, but I had like a flu thing. I kept coughing and coughing and coughing and hacking and everything else. And I didn't have teary eyes or, you know, a flu symptom, but it felt like I was, you know, just, I had something wrong, obviously. And my ribs on my left side felt like they were broke, you know?
Uh-huh.
I had this sensation where it was like somebody was stabbing me with a knife, and my upper right shoulders. It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anything of it, but at the same time, I talked to Dr. Roger Lear, and he said, Jose, you might have a thing called, what's that called? Let's say condition, not like hives, but...
Shingles?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Sorry, I'm a little slow here tonight.
I'm sorry. Anyway,
so I got some medication for the shingles and everything else. And it started to reside it, you know, it started to things, you know, stop it. It felt like somebody had a cigarette and was burning me under my skin, like putting a cigarette out under my skin, or a stabbing sensation. And I'm talking about my lower left, my lower stomach, my lower left back, in my upper right shoulder. And I have to say this to you, Kevin, so that your audience will know what I'm talking about. So it started to reside a little bit, but then it got worse. It got to where it was intolerable. And I woke up one morning, and I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe. I thought I was having a heart attack. You know, and I looked up on the Internet. I woke up at 4 in the morning. I could not catch my breath. I would take a deep breath and nothing would happen. And I went on the Internet and they said, hey, you're having a heart attack. And I go, oh, my God. So I went to urgent care, which is a clinic right up the street. And they gave me a shot and they gave, you know, to help me breathe again. They said, Jose, you have congestive heart failure. You have liquid in your lungs. Your heart is oversized. It's working hard. You have major high blood pressure. My blood pressure was like 210 over 180 or 108, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge. It scared the crap out of me, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, man, I thought I was having a heart attack. So then they gave me this medication and everything calmed down. Then suddenly, about a week and a half later, I started getting other symptoms, you know. My pain would not go away, but, you know, the stabbing pain and everything else. And then I started getting these heart palpitations. So I went to the hospital, the ER room, emergency room, and I go, guys, I think I'm having a heart attack or a stroke or some crap. And they took me in there, they did tests, and they said, look, your vitals are fine. You have high blood pressure. You got diabetes. All right, granted. But you do not have congestive heart failure. All right? And they said, you don't have liquid in your lungs. You were misdiagnosed by urgent care. Now, Kevin, I don't have Medi-Cal, I don't have insurance, I'm just a guy, I'm a filmmaker, man. We don't have these luxuries.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 60 years old, Kevin. Okay? So it's like I just turned 60. And I don't have all this insurance or any of that stuff. So the visit to the ER room brought me back full circle, and they assured me, you're not going to have a heart attack. You're fine. Your vitals are okay. You got a little bit of a high blood pressure, you know, high blood pressure, hypertension, whatever. Here's some pills, blah, blah, blah. But a couple of weeks later, I'm still getting these stabbing pains in my stomach. It feels tender on my left side, and I get these stabbing pains. I feel like somebody's burning me with a cigarette. And now, this time, I wake up, and the left part of my face is paralyzed. I can't smile on my left side. I have a happy, sad face, that kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I just had a stroke. So, and I didn't call an ambulance. I can't afford that. And all this time, I don't have Medi-Cal. I don't have insurance. So I went over, and my friend took me to the hospital again. And they said, no, you're not having a stroke. If you had a stroke, the whole left side of your body would not operate. They said, you have a condition called Bell's palsy. That's B-E-L-L apostrophe S, P-A-L-S-E-Y, Bell's palsy. And you know what's amazing, Kevin, is that I'm not the only one on the planet that has this. It's a condition that happens to a lot of people suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what it comes from?
What?
It comes from stress.
From stress, yeah. Well, you know, stress can just do a lot of stuff to you. It really can.
Well, you know, ever since my mother passed away, I went to Roswell, New Mexico, and I had to be strong for my little brother, Manuel. He had lived with her for the last 8 years and taken care of her in her last moments of life. I mean, he, hand and foot, literally, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He took care of her, and I had to be strong for him. When I went to Roswell, I did not cry. I did not go through the motions or anything. I had to be strong for the family. I had to be strong for my little brother. And what that did to me, Kevin, when I got back to Albuquerque, leaving Roswell, that's when it broke down.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, listen, I'm sorry to hear about your mom, and I'm sorry to hear about all that you've been through, but we are glad that you are kind of on the upswing now, and you sound good. So
I'll tell you what, if you would have talked to me 2 weeks ago, you'd have said, man, this guy's too far gone.
Yeah.
You know me, Kevin. I'm the kind of guy that does not give up on anything, man. I have gone through so many different obstacles.
Yeah, you normally you're running at full tilt boogie.
I got to. And mm-hmm. you know what? I am a very, very adamant person that, look, you know, I don't care what you throw at me. I'm doing it, man. I'm presenting it. This is the way it is, and it's the reality of what we're dealing with. And come heck or high water, I'm going to deliver the goods.
And well, let's talk about that.
Let's break that out and just get back to even keel. Now we're on even keel. Let's talk about what's going on. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Let's talk about the Battle of Los Angeles, because that's the movie you talked to us about last time, and you were right into it, working on it. Have you finished it yet?
No. You know, here's the thing, Kevin. In 2008, the latter part of 2008, early 2009, I was working on Moon Rising. And I had heard about this movie called Battle, : Los Angeles. And I said, oh my gosh, they're going to make a movie of the Battle of Los Angeles. And all the indicators were that they were going to do that movie that I've been wanting to do since 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I said, well, I'm going to make a documentary of it to ride on the coattails of this Sony International Pictures film that's being made for like $70 million. I'm going to ride the coattails and make a documentary about the Battle of Los Angeles, because I've always wanted to do this. And I was in touch with a lot of the people that were privy to that information. Well, when Battle.Los Angeles came out, and it was a travesty. They were actually promoting it like as if it was going to open with the original event of Battle of Los Angeles, and it didn't. Okay? But they used the same LA Times photo in a promotion. On the website, you can see the LA Times photo of the real event. And then they even talk about it. In 1942, there was a UFO that came up and blah, 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 blah. But as it turns out, it was a fallacy. They didn't even mention the Battle of Los Angeles. And it was actually before that that I decided I want to make a motion picture of the Battle of L.A. I'm not going to make a documentary. If you want to see a documentary of the Battle of L.A., go to History Channel, Discovery Channel. They've done it. I'm doing a feature film of the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I've decided that I'm going to hire actors like Gene Hackman, Robert De Niro, Scarlett Johansson. You know, I'm going for the big time of it. This is going to be my breakup movie as a director. And I'm going to give it the integrity and the justice that it needs done, because this event was real.
Mm-hmm. Now, in this one, do you put real footage, or is it all manufactured for the movie?
Okay. I'm not making a documentary.
Uh-huh.
So that ends the real footage deal.
Okay, so you don't even use any of the real footage.
No, I am recreating visually the experience that people had that morning at, it was 2:25 in the morning, February, you know, 1942.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to visualize, you're going to see on the screen different perspectives from different people from all over Los Angeles. You know what, Kevin? I am hearing so much noise on my end, I can't even talk.
We're not transmitting any noise, I can promise you. I don't know.
On my side, it makes it very difficult for me to... All right, I'll continue. Look, the Battle of Los Angeles that I am doing, the motion picture, we may have to change the title, too, because, you know, there's already two movies out. There's Battle, colon, Los Angeles, and then there's a sci-fi comedy parody of Battle, colon, Los Angeles called Battle of Los Angeles. I may have to change the title to What Katie Saw, the true story of the Battle of Los Angeles, because there was a lady that lived in Culver City where the UFO hovered right above her house before the searchlights hit it, before the battalion started firing at it. She was an air raid warden. Her name was Katie.
Uh-huh.
And there's a fellow radio host that you and I both know, Kevin. I can't mention his name because I promise not to say this, but he lived and took care of Katie, the lady that was there where the UFO was right above her house. She was an interior designer for the studios back in the day and for the celebrities. She was an air raid warden, and her supervisor called her and he said, "Katie, are you seeing this thing? It's right above your house." She went to her window, the bedroom window of her house, and she looked up, and there was this huge 350, maybe 500-foot diameter object that was, as the way she describes it, and you can check this out on Jeff Rand's videos, websites and other websites. It's her testimony. She says, "It was the most glorious thing I've ever seen. It was heavenly." She said, this color of this object was the most incredible orange, white, purple. I mean, she describes this object to a T, and she says, "It is a color I will never, ever forget the rest of my life." Now, she was an interior decorator, interior designer for the studios, for MGM.
Mm-hmm.
So when she describes this thing, it's amazing. And it's been published, like I said, you know, on the Jeff Rich thing and all the other different websites all over the world. Her immediate testimony has been presented. However, it turns out that this friend that I have, that's another radio host, Kevin, and you know who he is, and I will tell you behind the scenes, but I promise not to disclose, he married Katie's daughter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The lady that the UFO hovered over her house in Culver City before the searchlights hit it and before the bombardment hit it, she saw it, and she said there were airplanes that went at it, shot at it, nothing happened. But this thing right there hovered for about 25, 30 minutes before the searchlights hit it, and the attack that we had. Now, here's another thing, Kevin, you have to realize. At that moment, when the barrage happened, we attacked an unknown visitor. We went to war. This was 11 weeks after Pearl Harbor when we were attacked. Here, something came into our airspace, hovered above Culver City for about 20 minutes, and then it was attacked by us. We attacked this thing. We were at war inside our country. All right, and this went down for about 3.5 hours because this UFO traveled down the coast, you know, all the way down to San Pedro, where another attack was done on it, all the way to Seal Beach, then it flew real quickly over downtown L.A., back to the Beverly Hills, Culver City, Santa Monica area, and we actually went to war that night in the United States. It was a war that happened, okay? And then our military, the Pentagon, our White House, they covered it up. So this is a real event that happened, and I have eyewitnesses that are still alive. And
you were telling me about one of the eyewitnesses that you've got. One of the eyewitness. I won't give any details. I don't know how much you want out there, but was very, very close to this object, saw this object up close because of his position, and now what will you will get actors to play the part of those witnesses, or do you use the witnesses as sort of background for the story, for the script?
Kevin, at first I thought I was going to do a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm gonna level with you. During the time in 2009, early 2009, I got a script sent to me of the movie Battle Los Angeles, the Sony Pictures film, you know, the mm-hmm. big $70 million film. Somebody felt that I should read the script of what was coming up. Because, you know, up until that time, I said, oh man, they beat me to it. They're going to make the movie about the Battle of Los Angeles. And I saw the promos. I saw the movie poster. They used the Battle of Los Angeles LA Times photo, man, that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
That was the poster, if you remember and if you can recall.
Yeah.
Even the website was that, and they even mentioned it in 1942, blah, 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 blah. So I thought, okay, they're finally making the real movie. They got $70 million. Fine. I'm going to make a documentary of this event and follow their
coattails. All right. We have to step away for a break, Jose. Ladies and gentlemen, we shall return right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Jose Escamilla. Jose, I interrupted you in mid-sentence because the break took over, so the floor is yours.
Okay, so as I was relating, here we had this lady who has a UFO right above her house, and she's the main character in the film that I'm doing. I wrote a screenplay called The Battle of Los Angeles. We may have to change the title, Kevin, because, you know, there's been those other two travesty of movies, the $70 million.
Yeah. Well, and you got to look at the script before that other movie came out. So.
Yes, I did. And, oh, yeah, that's where we were. And mm-hmm. here's what the deal was. When I saw that, I said, you know what? I'm not going to make a documentary of this film. I'm not going to follow the coattails of this stupid movie that's going to be done made. You know, for $70 million, man. I decided I want to do a feature film, complete with my own stars and actors, and keep the integrity of what the event was like when it went down. Here we had close to 1 million people that saw this event go down. Now, you have to imagine, Kevin, you have this lady named Katie, and I can't divulge her last name because of the family and everything else, but the UFO hovered right above her house, right there in Culver City. That's where it hovered.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there were airplanes that went out and shot at it, pop, 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 nothing happened. This thing was about 350 to 500 feet in diameter. She described it as being the most glorious color she's ever seen, you know. And she was an interior designer for the studios. And it hovered there for about 20 minutes, and then finally the searchlights hit it. And that's when the anti-aircraft shrapnel started hitting it, and her whole neighborhood got destroyed, basically. Okay? Not from the UFO. From the shrapnel that hit it and rained down on her neighborhood. I mean, trees caught fire, house roofs, you know, cars, you know, you name it. But she was the witness, along with about close to 2,000 people in her neighborhood area and the surrounding neighborhoods. You have to imagine this, Kevin. Here this lady sees this thing right above her house, you know, at probably about 1,500, maybe 2,000 feet, maybe bigger. And it was about 350 to 500 foot in diameter. And before it got bombarded, she saw it as it really was. And then the stuff hits the fan, man. They're firing at this.
Well, okay, now, look, when the airplanes began to shoot at it, did she see this object return fire or do anything
nothing,
at all?
No. No, nothing whatsoever. The object never retaliated. And the way she describes it from the person that lived with her for the last 8 years of her life, and he's a mutual friend, Kevin. You know who he is.
Okay.
I can't even divulge that to you. But he lived with her for the last 8 years of her life. He said, you know, she's got some... what she told me, I'm going to divulge only to you, Jose, so you can use it in your movie. But before she passed, she said, I hope the story gets out done the right way. And I'm doing it, Kevin. And no, she saw these airplanes come up to it, and so did her neighbors. I mean, she's not the only one. It's just that she had the vantage point. She was an air raid warden,
uh-huh.
you know, for her own neighborhood. Now, imagine this, Kevin. You are living in Culver City. It's 2:25 in the morning. You get a phone call, and you're in charge of taking care of your neighborhood in case the Japanese attack, because, you know, this was 11 weeks right after Pearl Harbor. You get awakened by your supervisor and says, are you looking at it? It's right above your house. So you go to your window, and you look up out, and you see this huge object that's 1,500, maybe 5,000 feet. You don't know because it's huge. About 350, maybe 500 feet in diameter, and you're looking at it, and then you start seeing these airplanes coming at it, and your neighbors are outside their houses because they're hearing pop, 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 pop. They're hearing the airplanes hitting this or shooting at it. Now, you're outside all of a sudden, and you're looking at this thing, and then your neighborhood in the surrounding area, maybe 10,000 people. You know, Culver City is not a small little township. In those days, it was a pretty big facility. I mean, MGM Studios was there. Nerd Studios, you know, Laird Studios. I mean, it was a big community. And also Beverly Hills, because that's pretty close to the event. So all these people are seeing this event go down. Okay? Then suddenly, the searchlights hit it, and the cannon fire starts, because the airplanes couldn't bring it down, so then the cannon fire starts. And we're talking about a bombardment that we went to war with this object that was there. All right? This is the kind of event. If you were at Pearl Harbor and you were on one of the ships, that's one thing. But if you were inland and you saw the attack happen to these ships, you'd have a different perspective of what went down, you know, eyewitness. Well, that's what happened with the Battle of Los Angeles. We had neighbors of the people that were underneath where the shrapnel rained down, okay? Now, to captivate that in a motion picture, which is what I'm doing, it's going to open a lot of minds and hearts because this happened in our country. It was not a foreign thing. I mean, Pearl Harbor, granted, America got attacked, but Pearl Harbor is overseas, basically, if you want to look at it.
Well, yeah, it's not part of the mainland. But, you know, the thing about this that's pretty disturbing, I mean, I've been sitting here listening to you describe what happened, and what's disturbing about this is the press releases from the government, from the Pentagon, from the Army, the press releases at the time downplayed all of this. There wasn't much press coverage about the shrapnel from these shells hitting the ground. I'm not aware. Maybe there was some press coverage. I'm not aware of any. It wasn't played up. It wasn't even reported much. But
no,
the press.
No, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I have to totally disagree with you.
Okay.
This is why I am making this film, because it is the most heavily documented UFO case in the history of UFOs. Granted, a lot of the press releases that were allowed by our government to be released downplayed it.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, all the journalists that were here, and I'm here in Southern California, all the journalists that were here during that very same morning after this event happened, after this, I called the incident, they were truthful. They went down to Culver City. They interviewed every person, not only underneath the war zone, as they called it, but also in the side streets and blocks away from it, from different vantage points. They interviewed everybody, and they documented. This is the most heavily documented UFO case in the history of UFOs. However, the only thing that happened was the government and the White House and everyone else, they said, do not release this. But I got the goods. No, everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, that's my point. What got out to the public was very, very little. And the official statements downplayed it. In fact, the Secretary of the Army, the press release that came out from his office, basically said, well, you know, we think maybe misidentified radar blips and jittery nerves or something like that. But the general on the ground.
The Navy.
Okay.
The Navy. He aggravated the heck out of the Army guys. The guys
staring
at it. He says, that was warned there. The Navy intelligence guy said, no, it was just nothing but a weather balloon. Then he changed it. It was a air blimp, a target blimp, whatever. And he says, oh, no, it was war nerves. The Army guys didn't know what they were firing at. It was just war nerves. So that PO'd the Army.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He insulted them. If you can't bring down a weather balloon or an air raid blimp, what are you going to do against a real enemy target? So it was the Navy that brought that out through the Pentagon, through the White House. But you know what? The news reporters documented everybody. They went over there to the neighborhood where the shrapnel fell, where the fires went on. They interviewed Katie. They interviewed her neighbors, and they all said the same thing. It was not a weather balloon. It was something real. We saw it before the attack happened. A lot of them are dead now. And also, check this out, Kevin. It took about a day or 2 days before the Army, the Pentagon, sent out their men in black, basically, is what it was. And literally, men in black went to these neighborhoods, and they had everybody sign, not affidavits, but sign sworn statements that they would not release anything of what they saw until after World War II was done, because they did not want the war effort going on about World War II, about being attacked in Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. they didn't want the attention taken away from that. So all the people in those neighborhoods were approached by the Army, by the military, the Pentagon, and the White House. This is part of the backstory that this movie is about. Okay? They went around and got these innocent men, women, who were witnesses to one of the most biggest war stories ever. We were at war with an object. They made them sign a document that said, we will not talk about this until after World War II is over. Literally, that's basically what it was. Katie did not rest about it, because after the war was over, she started talking on radio shows, newspapers, and everything else, as well as a few others. Her life was threatened. her daughter's life was threatened. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the backstory, and that's what this motion picture is about, you know?
And you have the reporter's notes from that time?
I'm sorry?
You have the reporter's notes from back at that time?
I have everything, Kevin. You know me. I'm a very thorough guy, man.
This should be a blockbuster. Yeah, this ought to be a blockbuster.
It's going to be big. This movie's going to be bigger than Independence Day, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and you name it. You know why? Because it's a real true story, and it's about the UFO issue, and I am pulling, you know me, I pull no punches.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm not making a documentary anymore. I'm making a motion picture. I want to have Gene Hackman, Robert De Niro. Robert De Niro looks exactly like the guy, like the sheriff from Ann Arbor, Michigan, when J. Allen Hynek was talking about the Michigan sightings, and it was swamp gas.
Yeah.
There was a sheriff there. He said, you know, Hynek was in my office last night, and with all respects due to J. Allen Hynek, he's all wet. He was here. He didn't know what these sightings were about, didn't know what to say the next day, but the Pentagon called him at my office and said, you've got to come up with something. And the next day he comes up with this Mars gas theory.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know what? The guy's full of crap. And the guy, the sheriff, I forget his name right now, it escapes me, but the guy looks exactly like Robert De Niro. And I swear to God, Kevin, I'm going to have Robert De Niro portray the sheriff in my movie, The Battle of Los Angeles.
Okay, so...
One or the other.
So, do you have a projected... Start, well, I'm going to ask this question, but we'll get you to answer it on the other side of this break because we're just about to hit a break here. But here's the question. And the question is, do you have a projected start date for when you'll start shooting and a projected release date for when it will get out here to the public? Now, I want you to hang on because we've got this break coming up. And I don't want to interrupt you like I did last time, and we'll get you to answer on the other side of the break. Ladies and gentlemen, this evening we're talking with Jose Escamilla, filmmaker. He's made some of the great films that we know of in our genre, and I think probably all of you have at some time or another seen The Greatest Story Ever Denied or Moon Rising. Some of his other films. Well, he's here tonight, and we're talking with him about the new movie. We'll be back right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla. Jose, I had asked you a couple of questions before we went to break, and let me just repeat those in case somebody's just tuned in and they didn't hear the questions. Do you have a projected start date for shooting the movie, and do you have a projected release date for when we'll be able to see it? Are you there, Jose? Well, ladies and gentlemen, apparently Jose's not there. So, don't know what happened. Let me just check. Are you still on the line, Jose? All right. Tell you what we'll do. I don't know. I talked with him during the break and he was there. He's not there now, so we'll give him a call back.
Play. can't complain. Take the fix when it's broke. Make the taste.
Okay, we're going to give this a shot and see if we have Jose on the phone. Are you back with us, Jose?
I think I am. I was just calling you on the other line, so I canceled that, and precariously, here we are.
Okay. I had asked you if you have a projected start date for shooting the movie and a projected release date for the movie.
Okay, here's the deal, Kevin. I've been working on this movie for a year now, almost a year and a half. I've been producing all the key sequences and scenes, visual effects, the whole enchilada. What I am doing right now is I'm a fundraising campaign. I need to hire the actors and the actresses that will portray the characters that are key to not only the Battle of Los Angeles, but what occurred after the event. And I want to get superstars, man. Here's the way it works. Us independents have a shot at being able to make movies on the cheap. Whenever we hire somebody like Robert De Niro or Gene Hackman, Scarlett Johansson, whom I want to play Katie in my movie, any stars, Scott Glenn, you know, all these guys, we have an opportunity to get it done. There's a Screen Actors Guild contract called the Super Low Budget Contract, which allows, you know, guys like me, Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, all these guys, they use this, you know, to hire these cameo appearances by all these famous movie stars, Tom Cruise, De Niro, and all these cats. And there's also another contract called the Favored Nations Agreement, which is sanctioned by Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, to where, here's the way that works, and I used the Favored Nations Agreement back in 1989-1990 when I did my dinosaur cartoon series called Danny Dinonicus. I had people like Ruth Buzzy, Dr. Joyce Brothers, Ed Begley Jr., Nell Carter in those days, Swoosie Kurtz, Carlos Palomino. What they did is I did a cartoon series called Danny Dinonicus, the ultimate dinosaur cartoon, the educational dinosaur, and I had all these major stars. All I had to pay them was $2,500 each, plus 5% of the take, whatever it did in all syndication. $2,500. I'm talking Ruth Buzzy, man. She's, you know, she was a superstar with Laugh In. I had Nell Carter, a major, you know, singer, performer, and star. I had Dr. Joyce Brothers. I paid them each $2,500, and that was it. This is called a Favored Nations Agreement. So here's the way it's going to work with the Battle of Los Angeles. I want Robert De Niro, correct, to play the sheriff in Ann Arbor, Michigan, to portray the sheriff that said, hey, J. Allen Hynek's full of it, man. He was here in my office. And I swear to gosh, man, when you look at the photograph of this sheriff, he looks identical. He could be a doppelganger for Robert De Niro. So I'm able to hire Robert De Niro for about $25,000, maybe $50,000, as opposed to paying him $5 to $10 million per picture. Mm-hmm. I can have him in my movie, The Battle of Los Angeles, or whatever title we decide to call it. He will portray this character for, you know, $25,000, maybe $50,000, all right? I can get Scarlett Johansson, who demands at least $5 million for the film, at least. I can get her for $50,000, $25,000 or $50,000 on the Favored Nations Agreement. I could get Quentin Tarantino. I could get all these major stars, Tom Cruise, all these major celebrities, you know, to be in my film. Under the Favored Nations Agreement, they will get what everyone else gets, $25,000, maybe $50,000 tops. That's what I'm offering. And all I need is to get my budget, and they will all be in my movie.
All right, so how are we going to get this budget? How are you going to get this budget?
Well, I've done a few things. I'm going to tell you a secret that I don't want anyone else to know.
Well, if you tell me right now, it's going around the world.
Yesterday, I got contacted by a mini major studio, And what's incredible about this is that the people that contacted me, I can't mention the studio because I don't want to kibosh the deal. But yesterday I got connected with a person who is not only a fan of mine, of the Rods phenomenon, but next door, two offices down, is this lady whose dad witnessed the Battle of Los Angeles. Now, they're connected both to a major independent studio. Now, I'm having a meeting with them next Wednesday, and I don't even have to present it. This lady has lived it. She does a certain thing for the studio. I have to say, Kevin, the astronomical odds of this being handed to me in a silver platter means to me that this is meant to be. What are you telling me? The odds of a guy who's an executive at this major studio, major mini studio, independent studio, and the odds of a lady two doors down from her whose dad saw the Battle of Los Angeles go down. What are odds of that? Astronomical.
That's one of those things that people generally call synchronicities. It just is coming together. Coming together.
It's called a godsend.
Yeah.
Okay?
So
the odds that I would have a meeting next Wednesday with this company that may be able to give me $20 million to make this movie, as opposed to $250,000 that I've been asking for, you know, trying to raise money. I mean, I have a campaign, say, fund a Jose Escamilla movie where I'm asking people to send me a dollar, $5, $100, so I can raise $100 million so I can do all my movies and do it all by myself like I always do. Here I have a major Hollywood player, studio, that has two people that are synchronicity-wise connected to the Battle of Los Angeles. And that's happening next Wednesday, Kevin. So maybe God finally smiled at me and said, you know, this poor guy, he's got Bell's palsy. His face looks like Popeye on a binge. let's help this poor Mexican out, man. He's already done it. he means well. What the heck? Let's give him a shot. Finally, you know, I have to say this, Kevin. I'm a very fortunate kid in being that I have you as a friend, a dear friend. You know, you were there at my movie premiere, at the Moon Rising premiere.
Yeah.
You, Ed Grimsley, I have, you know, Dr. Roger Lear, all these people, man, they're my friends. You know, first and foremost, that's the most effective thing that I have in my life.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, and those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you're here. My sympathies to you for whatever kept you from the first hour, but we're glad you're here now. Delighted you're here now. My guest this evening is Jose Escamilla, and as I told you at the top of the show, he is under a doctor's care, and he's informed me during the break that he does need to leave us. He does need to go and rest, but he has a parting shot here he wants to make. Jose?
Yes, Kevin. Hi.
Yeah.
I hate being in this condition. Believe me, you don't realize how it affects, you know, what I'm trying to do, but I just want to say a few things. I have always strived to deliver films that just, you know, present the evidence as it is. It all started when I saw that Peter Jennings ABC special about UFOs, what I thought was going to be the final, you know, presentation where it presented the evidence about UFOs and made it real. But what the travesty was that at that time, was, you know, Peter Jennings comes on and he presents our case, the UFO cases and everything else, the first hour. And I go, man, this is going to be awesome. Second hour, they bring in the debunkers and the skeptics, and it destroys the first hour.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and I go, well, what the hey, man? What was that all about? And, you know, the next day I saw the news report, UFO is a mystery, explained away, you know, and I go, you know what? I'm going to make the movie that just nails it, dispels out the crap, man. Nobody's doing this. And that's when I created the UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, which nails it on the hammer, man,
mm-hmm.
how it happened. And ever since then, Kevin, I've been on this mission to deliver films that Charles Lester is all about. The Battle of Los Angeles, when I found out about it back in 2001 when I did UFO, The Greatest Story Ever Denied, it was news to me, too. I was as shocked as everyone else, and there's not that many people that know about this, okay? So when I saw, when I heard that Battle Los Angeles and the Battle of Los Angeles by Sci-Fi Channel came out,
mm-hmm.
which was a parody of Battle Los Angeles, I said, you know, forget this, man. I've got to do the right thing. Anyway, I feel myself slowly winding down here. I'm on medication, guys. I'm sorry. I have a condition called Bell's palsy. But here's what I want to close with, Kevin. I appreciate you. You're one of my best friends, and you've always helped me carry, you know, some of the carry the word of what I'm doing. I have a very simple thing to say. If I don't do it, no one else will. All right? And I'm doing it. And you can go on tblnfilms.com. I'm looking for donations and everything else. I have a major studio that contacted me yesterday. I cannot mention who they are or the business, but I have to say this. I closed the deal with them. I will never, ever ask for a penny from any of my supporters or any of my people that follow me or any of your people, you know. But until that day happens, the only person that's going to make this film happen is me. There's no one else going to do it for us because I've already seen what the major studios have done. They're trying to hide the fact that the Battle of Los Angeles is a fantasy. It's a sci-fi deal. And they have the power to do it. The power that I have is the power of the people's minds and hearts. I'm doing the real story of the Battle of Los Angeles. No one else is going to do it but me. And I appreciate you, Kevin. You've always been one of my strong supporters and advocates of what I do. And I appreciate you and your audience. And I'm sorry I'm starting to fade out because of the medication I'm taking. But know in your hearts, guys, I'm going to deliver this movie one way or the other. And it's not going to be a documentary. It's going to be a feature film. And one way or the other, it's going to get done. And, Kevin, I thank you, my friend. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you for being with us. You go get some rest and get well. All right, folks. Jose Escamilla. Jose Escamilla is a name known to everyone in the UFO community. And he's if you missed the first part of the show, he told us about all the horrendous health things that have happened to him just recently, and they finally decided the problem is he has Bell's palsy, and the left side of his face is paralyzed. So that's the situation, and that's what he's under the doctor's care for. And I appreciate him for being with us tonight, and we certainly look forward to this feature film coming out about the Battle of Los Angeles, but based on the real facts rather than sci-fi. That will be interesting. All right, now I'll tell you what we're going to do. What we are going to do is we are going to go open line, and if you want to talk about that Battle of Los Angeles, I've done several shows on that, you know. You want to talk about that? We can talk about it. And if you got something else you want to talk about, we'll talk about that. It is open line, unplanned, but it's open line, BYOT, And that means bring your own topic, as long as it's in the genre of the strange and unexplained. I want to show you another picture related to last night's show, but I'll do that in just a moment. You know, we do this series of shows called Real People. And we've done four so far where it's people in our audience sharing their experiences, what they've been through with, you know, their encounters with either UFOs or extraterrestrials or, in one case, fascinating story, Chuck Poloka, who gets these visions of what's coming. And on at least three occasions, it has saved his life. And one of those, you know, we had actually a video of a crash at the Ramstein air show. The crash where he would have been killed. He was standing right where that plane slid into the medevac helicopter and exploded. And he had been standing right there. But because of the premonition, the precognitive vision, he recognized that all the circumstances were coming together, and he walked away. He got others to walk away. Some stayed, and they did not survive. So that's the Real People series. That's what it's about. It's about the real people in our audience who have had these encounters with the strange and the unexplained. I've got to tell you, I'm getting emails almost daily now from other people in the audience who are saying, thank you so much for having this person on. Thank you so much for having that person on. What they said really spoke to me because, you know, I've experienced that same thing or something very similar. And it's just so great to know that I'm not isolated. I'm not alone. There are others who have experienced this as well. Now, the reason I bring that up is because, ladies and gentlemen, you really are not alone. You're not alone. No matter what it is that you have experienced, there are others out there like you who have experienced it. The Kevin Smith Show is here because you have a right to know, and it's here because you matter. So jump in with both feet and be a part of what we're doing here. You're not alone. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. And if you're outside of the USA or outside of Canada, then you can call that number, or you can use the flash message option on my website. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
I just wanted to remind everybody to go over and sign Stephen Bassett's petition, which is on the White House website. One other thing about that is that international people can participate. And I know you have a worldwide audience, so mm-hmm. people in the UK that want to participate in the United States process can even sign it. I know it's probably not going to change anything. But it's just about making it an issue to show people that we're serious, that it's an issue that is real, and we wish they would share a little bit more information with us.
All right. Thank you, Ryan.
The website is whitehouse.gov/g(k)C. International people can sign it. Anyways, what's been going on in the news these days?
You have to catch the first hour of the show to find that out.
I listened to the first hour.
Yeah, the Chinese have the first module of their space station up now. And tomorrow will be the last day for the NASA chief, science chief, the NASA science chief. He's stepping down as of tomorrow. And there's no word as to why. I don't know. I'm not, certainly not reading anything nefarious into it or conspiratorial or anything. I just don't know because they're not saying at this point why he's stepping down. His name is Ed Wyler, but he is stepping down effective tomorrow. And so that's about it as far as big news right now.
Well, I'd like to say that rest in peace, Fred Bell, Dr. Fred Bell.
Yes.
Yeah. They're still doing an investigation on that to see if what happened there, because he was doing so good, and he was doing a show with Jesse Ventura, and then a couple of days later he was not with us anymore. So I know he was a guest on the show, and I just wanted to say my condolences to that, and I'll just free up the lines to everybody. Sorry for pitching that thing with Stephen Bass.
Oh, no, that's quite all right. I want people to know about that. Okay, Ryan, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, be sure you get over there and sign that petition. You know, what it is the White House is allowing people to post, you know, things that they are that they think are important, and then other people can vote on that to see which things get moved to the top of the list. So that's what it's about. Okay, so be sure you get over there and do that. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I just wanted to tell Jose that while Bell's palsy is a pain, it will go away. My sister had it a few years ago. My mother had it 30 years ago. It's not fun, but it does go away.
Well, I know he's looking forward to it going away. I'll tell you what, he is up and working every day, and he's pushing forward even though he's having that problem.
Yeah, it's not fun, but it can be done.
Yeah.
I applaud his courage.
Yeah, well, I appreciate him for coming on. He told me when I talked with him earlier today that, I mean, I knew about this, but he said, you know, I think I feel like I can do the show, but there's a possibility. You know, he said the more I talk, it may get worse. And so I knew that going into it. I think he did well. He got through the first hour.
First hour, what, 15 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did well. And I'm very anxious to see this movie.
Me too.
You know, it's one that when we talked with him last time, he was going to do it as a documentary. And then now he says, oh, no, I'm not going to do a documentary because the other two movies that came out were junk.
Yeah. Now, I just want to add something to Ryan's comment about signing that petition. I haven't signed it because I don't know how to sign it. It says log in, and I don't have a log in. But I sent a similar thing to all three of my congressmen. Well, two congressmen and two senators and one congressman. I said, you know, if you're withholding this information, and it could have helped, it could have prevented things like the Gulf of Mexico and all the other oil spills and stuff like that, if it could have helped prevent that stuff. This is a crime against every species on the face of this planet. Get your act together and start doing something.
Ooh, Nancy, you tighten the screws down on them. You're probably on a list now, Brent.
Me, I've been on a list for a long time. They don't like me, and I don't like them.
What do you really think, Brent? I don't think you should beat around the bush like that. I think you ought to just come out with it.
Like I said last night, they're just a bunch of mamby-pamby mama's boys.
Well, yeah, Maybe they are, but I'll tell you what, they don't often get email or mail like that, I'm sure.
No.
Yeah. All right, Brent, thanks for the call, man.
Yep.
Okay. All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And as I said earlier, if you are not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can call that number. It'll work. But we understand that it can be expensive to do an overseas call, you know, an international long-distance call. So we have an option on the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and the option is called Flash Message. If you scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, right above that picture you will see a link that says Flash Message, but you must be outside the USA and outside of Canada to use that. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone. Now, there is another option. If you are anywhere in the world and you have Skype, we don't take incoming Skype calls because of what I described last night. I explained it last night. It's a technological issue. So we don't take incoming Skype calls. But if you have Skype, they have a feature where you can, you have to pay for it, but it's not very expensive. You can call telephone numbers. And if you use that, you can call our telephone number, and it's very, very inexpensive. So you might want to check into that, okay? And we'd love to hear from you. We have, you know, I've received telephone calls from Taiwan, from Germany, from Australia, South Africa, the UK, from France. Where else? I know I'm leaving someone out. We got one time from Vietnam, I believe. So you know, it's always cool when we get to actually hear from some of our listeners who are around the world. It's pretty cool stuff. Maybe you don't think it's cool, but I do. I think it's pretty cool. And I hope one of these days I'll get a call from some of the places where I have lived or where I've traveled. I'd love to get a call from East Timor, but they don't have telephones there, I don't think. They didn't when I was there. I'd love to get a call from Bosnia. I'd love to get a call from Kosovo, from Serbia, you know, some of the places where I have lived. I've gotten, you know, I didn't live in Australia, but I was in Australia a lot when I lived in East Timor. It's very, very close. All right, let me talk with you a little bit about this picture from Mars that we talked about last night. Because I made a mistake. I made two mistakes. One mistake that I hardly ever make is I did not download the first mistake. I did not download the high definition full picture that NASA has available. Well, I did download it, but I didn't use it. I didn't, and the reason is it's massive. It's huge. And so I used the picture that they have published on their website. Okay. So that link that I put up last night, if you went to that link, you saw the picture on their webpage. So I used that. And that was a mistake. I should not have done that. I should have used that massive, massive picture that is the original. Because the thing that I said looked like some kind of unidentified object hovering above the ground. When you look at the big picture, the big massive picture, you can see that's not something hovering above the ground. So what does that do to the statue? Nothing. The second mistake I made was in saying that the statue picture was not that same picture, but it was in the batch. No, you can see it in that picture. You can see it in that picture. It's a little different angle than we used last night. There's a different angle, a little different angle, where you can see what we saw last night. But I want to show you what we are talking about for those who are watching. On the left side is a tiny little portion of the massive picture that I've been talking about. I have an area circled. On the right side is on the left side is a tiny portion of the massive picture, but I have shrunk it down to fit our screen. On the right side, that's what you see in the massive picture you download from NASA's website. And it's not, I didn't do anything to it. I just clipped out that part of it so that you can see it. I just cut that part out so you can see that that statue is there. Now, there really isn't much doubt in my mind when I look at this. I cannot say there's any doubt that we're looking at something artificial here. This does not look like any kind of natural geological feature. It's a statue carved back into this cliff. Now, on the left of our screen, we see the whole cliff. I mean, from top to bottom. Well, almost. What we're looking at that looks like the bottom, that's not the bottom of the crater, but what you have from there down to the bottom of the crater, where the rocks end here, and we see looks like a rock slide and landslide at the bottom of the picture. That continues all the way down into the bottom of the crater. Okay? So we see the cliff, the rocks, from the top to where the rocks enter that landslide. And you can see where this is positioned. It's about midway up on that cliff. And it looks like perhaps what they did is a relief carving, which means this is all just the rock, the cliff, not a statue that was carved and then put up there. This is the cliff, and they carved back into the cliff, chipping away everything that does not look like this statue. You see? We'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. I hope you don't leave me hanging here. We'll be back right after this.
Florida, and you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show. A place where you can get information that's out of this world.
All right, welcome back. In this second hour, we have gone open line, and we've gone open line because our guest, Jose Escamilla, has some health issues and warned me that he might not be able to do the whole show tonight. He did a great job during that first hour dealing with, you imagine trying to talk and, like he said, his jaw, his face, the left side of his face all swollen up because of this medical condition that he's got. But he did a great job. And I appreciate him doing that. We've gone open line now. He had to leave us and get some rest. And I want to, I put the picture up there because I wanted to clarify some things. And if you want to talk about that, we can talk about that. A couple of things, though, that I would like to kind of bring up, and one of them is general, and one of them, I guess, is kind of members stuff. But one of them is the Chinese putting the first module of their space station up. What do you think about that? Do you see that as just, okay, it's cool? Or do you see it as something to be afraid of and feel threatened by? How do you view that? The Chinese, I mean, we have the International Space Station. The Chinese basically have said no thanks to the International Space Station. I'm saying that. You know, it's possible they were not invited. I don't know. But anyway, they said, you know, we're going to do our own space station, and they've got the first module of that space station up now. Is that a positive thing? Is it a negative thing? Or is it just neutral? What do you think about that? 623-444-5889. And for our international audience, you can call that number, or you can send me a flash message by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And when you get there, just scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. And right above it is a link that says flash message. Okay, you can click that and send me your comments or your questions. And but you have to be outside the USA, outside of Canada. If you're inside the USA or Canada, please use the telephone. All right. Now, the second thing that I'm quite interested in knowing what you think about has to do with our members area. It's the members area is gone. We now have a members community, and it's not just a name change. It is a massive software change and features change. Okay? And what do you think about that if you are a member? Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John from the warm and sunny Mesa, Arizona.
Hello, John.
How you doing?
Doing good, sir. How are you?
Good. Well, my only concern, being an old fart like I am, is I remember Kennedy, and when we first went into space, being concerned about the weaponization of space. And I'm not certain that China has signed any of those treaties not to do that, or would abide by them if they had. That would be my concern.
We haven't signed them either.
Well, true, but okay.
You know.
Well, I don't worry. Well, I do worry about my government or the black government, whatever you want to call them, the ones that with the money that pull the strings that pay off and bribe the ones that are elected, so called.
We tend not to feel worried about our government having any weapons in space, because we assume they won't use them against us, and I think that is a fallacy.
I agree.
The government has, at times, turned its guns on citizens. And before anybody gets outraged and starts screaming that I'm anti-American, I'm not. Folks, all you need to do, if you want to know whether or not any of our uniformed services will shoot Americans, go do a Google search on Kent State.
Well,
or Waco.
Some recent ones.
Yeah, Waco or Ruby Ridge. But the point is, we do assume that they will not turn any space-based weapons on us. But now let's put ourselves in the shoes of someone else on the planet in another country. We would have to assume those are just for us. We would have to assume that's what they're up there for. And I think it would make us very nervous.
Well, anybody around China, you know, whether it be Russia or or Korea or any of the other little death spots that happen to be able to buy or grab a hold of some kind of problem-causing explosives would be target for them, and we wouldn't be any different than any of the others.
Yeah, the point is that it's one thing to say, well, we're not going to target this country, we're not going to target that country. It's another thing for those countries to feel comfortable about it.
Right.
you know, if it was Russia, and they may have space-based weapons. I mean, I've read all kinds of rumors that they do. But if they do, we would feel the same about those as we felt about the nukes being targeted on American cities back during the Cold War.
We wouldn't have any more problem retaliating against China than we did against, you know, any proposed threat from Russia.
Yeah, and I think our energy would be greatly enhanced and magnified if we were spending our time trying to make sure we had excessively friendly relations with every nation on this earth. Now, I'm not a peacenik, okay? I'm not a person that thinks we can just all sit around the fire and sing Kumbaya, because there are people out there, I've met them face to face, who are absolutely dedicated to the destruction of this country.
Right.
They hate this country.
Teddy Roosevelt, who said, speak softly and carry a big stick, and I was all for that, you know.
Yeah.
Use diplomacy, you know, and talk to people, but when talking comes to an end, use the big stick.
Yeah, but you got to ask yourself, how big a stick do you have if you're really considering that you're going to take on China?
Well, yeah.
Because if you take just the geniuses in China, that's more than the entire population of this country.
Good point.
Okay.
And you're real glad that they're 12,000 miles away.
Yeah, and again, you know, I don't have a kumbaya view of the world. I've seen the nasty underbelly of this planet. So I don't have a kumbaya view, but I'll tell you this. The Chinese people are some of the friendliest, smartest, most industrious people I've met.
And many of the populaces of the countries, you can say the same thing about great people, even outside of the United States.
Sure.
Many of those in the know will say they may not like the government, but the people of the United States are great people.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's I'm not sure that I'm nervous about them having a space station.
Well, you know, there's things that we need to work on a negotiation basis. But you're famous for saying, you know, there are things that you have no control over, so why worry about them?
That's right. If you have no control over it, don't worry about it. Whatever's going to happen is just going to happen.
You've got a space station sitting up there circling the globe every 90 minutes, loaded with some kind of missile with a nuke on it that travels thousands of miles an hour, and they decide to fire it, there isn't thing one you can do about it except take a couple of deep breaths and say your Hail Marys and get ready.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you know what was the first manned space station ever?
Wow. The first manned space station? Didn't Russia have it?
Okay, it was Russia. And do you know what it was called?
Soyuz, was that it?
No. It was called the Almaz, A-L-M-A-Z. It was a spy space station. And it was before any of the Mir space stations. It was before any of the other space stations they did. Almaz was the first space station. It was manned. And it was the first, as far as we know, the first weapon in space, because it had a gun. It had a cannon and a turret,
okay,
so that it could shoot any approaching space vehicle.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you've often said, and I think you and I have discussed from time to time, you know, that when they used to send the shuttle up, and they don't do it anymore, but when they used to send the shuttle up, and it would take forever to get this thing that travels 17,000 miles an hour to a space station that's only 200 miles up.
Yeah.
Something wrong with that math.
Yeah, what were they doing? Where were they going?
Yeah, at 17,000 miles an hour, you can run around the world several times every hour, or at least once in an hour. But, what else were they doing?
Well, you know, we've had guests on this show that say that there are military space stations, and that they were...
That was my next comment.
Yeah, that they are carrying... The shuttles were carrying supplies. But, you know, I don't know if that's true. But it does not sound implausible.
Well, and that would also, because I'm certain that if we have them, we have used them in threats to other nations for the same reason that we have just mentioned concern over China.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I really, really, really don't think it is smart for this nation or any nation to weaponize space. But I think at this point, you know, the cows have left the field. I think it's weaponized.
Well, I do too. You know, it's kind of like the old West shootout. You've got several guys on both sides, and one side has the guns, or only a few people on each side has the guns. The ones without the guns are the losers.
Yeah.
All they can do is hide.
Yeah, well, you know, look, if China has the technology to build, launch, and run a space station, they have that technology whether they ever use it or not. That level of technology exists already. If they have that technology and they never launch, of course they have now. They've launched the first module. But if they never did, they would still have that level of technology. And they would still then have advanced capabilities. John, we have a break coming up here in about 9 seconds. Do you want to hang on through the break, or does that about do it for you?
I think that about does it for me tonight.
All right. I want to thank you for the call. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this break. Final approach here this evening, and we have gone open line in this second hour. Our guest had to leave us due to his medical condition, which he warned me could happen. And my thanks again to Jose Escamilla for being with us for the first hour. I have a flash message here. The telephones are still open, 623-444-5889. I have a flash message from Captain Robert McDonald in the Netherlands. He says, "Hi, Kevin and friends. Great show tonight. I am known by the global media as Captain Rob. I'm a 30-time world record holder, Hall of Fame stuntman. I promised our friend, Leanne in Tennessee, that I would call your show directly tonight between my UFO ghost hunting TV film shoots. So I stayed up many hours to do so. However, I could not get through on my Skype because of my caller ID. Pardon me. According to your side, I have no idea why. I'm old school. Lots of laughs. I hope to do an exclusive, never told UFO USO story someday soon about my Viking ship and crew's encounter 80 miles offshore of the Netherlands in 2010. This is an unknown, unspoken story, North Sea Tangle. So between now and then, everyone's welcome to Google me by typing in Ice Cream Stick Viking Ship to see the what's up. Hopefully soon I can fix this unknown phone problem. Thank you for the flash message there, Captain Rob from the Netherlands. Let me say this. If you got a message saying that it would not accept your Skype call because it didn't have caller ID, that means there's something on this side, not your side. So we haven't changed anything. So maybe there's some kind of new feature or something that just automatically blocks if you don't have caller ID. I will check into that. And I will try to get that set so that you can call us. Perhaps that's why we haven't been getting those Skype overseas calls. Somebody should have informed me of that before. So, Captain Rob in the Netherlands, thank you for informing me of that. I'll check into that and see if we can get that fixed. Well, folks, what do you think about... what do you think about thriller horror stories? I mean, the ones that are supposed to be real, like the Amityville Horror. Now, some people have seen that movie and they think it's all fiction. And a lot of it is fiction, but it's based on a true story. It's based on a real address and a real family that live there, and their experiences with some really pretty violent poltergeist activity. Have you seen the movie or read the book, Amityville Horror? Well, tomorrow night, one of the children from that real family that live there and live through those experiences will be my guest here on this show. I hope that you will tune in. I hope you will be here. You know what he says? He says the Hollywood version of their story is nothing. He says he's got a scarier story he can tell. So he's going to be here tomorrow night, and you want to be sure and be here for that. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Barrett from West Virginia.
Hello, Barrett.
Hey, pretty excited for your tomorrow night's guest. I can't wait to hear the real story to that.
And, yeah.
Wanted to comment on the new members area. I love it. It's a whole lot faster and just easier to navigate, like you said. And
all right, so let me ask you a question. Have you started uploading any video clips yet?
No, I have a couple picture albums, but I don't have any videos yet.
Okay. All right. Well, let me tell you a couple of things I'm working on. I haven't figured this out yet. Now, look, I'm going to tell you, this is some sophisticated software, which means it's a little difficult. It's got a learning curve. But one of the things that I want to do and hope to be able to do is to get a RSS feed on that first page that opens that will show, you know, the latest 10 blogs. So you'll have a link there, you know, like if you post a blog, then it bumps number 10 off the list and your blog becomes number 1.
Yeah.
And then as other blogs are posted, yours moves down the list and new blogs come in on top. So the latest 10 blogs that are posted, I want to get that on there. And there are a couple other things I'm not going to mention, because if I can't, people will get their hopes really high, and then if I can't figure out how to do it, they'll be disappointed. But that one, I should be able to figure out fairly soon.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. And, you know, now, we didn't used to have friend requests. You had a friend's page, but now you can send a friend request and accept friend requests. And in the forums, I've started two new forums in there, two new topics. One of them is announcements, and everybody that's a member needs to look at those announcements every day, because that's where the inside info goes. The other one is how to. So I've got one article in the how-to forum, and I've got some more coming on how, with this new members community, how do you do this, how do you do that. So that's a couple of new forums that are in there. And then I also have one for miscellaneous ramblings that are kind of sort of related to our genre, but they don't have to be right on target. They can be a little bit off topic. Yeah.
Also, wanted to ask: Does Jose release his contact information, or does he have like somewhere you can contact him?
Yeah, I think it's on his website, tblnfilms.com. It's either tbln.com or tblnfilms.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think his contact information is there.
Okay. Thank you. And one more comment on the statue on Mars.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, pretty interesting. And I actually texted that picture to my mom, and she said that, humans are the are going to be, or planet Earth is going to be the second planet that humans destroy.
I hope we don't, but your mom could be right.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Barrett, thanks for giving us a call.
All right, thank you.
All right. All right, folks, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for this evening. Remember, tomorrow night, one of the children of the real Amityville horror story, the real family that lived there and lived through those experiences, one of the children of that family, all grown up now, is going to be my guest here on this show. And he says his story is a lot more scary than what Hollywood's got. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope you'll be here. And I would encourage you to join our members area. Now, you expect me to say that, but let me tell you, if you're not in that community, if you're not part of the members community, then you are missing. I mean, believe me, you're missing about 80% of the Kevin Smith Show experience. So we're glad you listen. I'm delighted that you listen, but you need to join that members community. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.